An explosion in Lebanon's port city causes fresh turmoil for an economy already in crisis. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Rescue workers in Beirut are searching for survivors after a blast yesterday that officials say was caused by a fire that ignited ammonium nitrate stored in a warehouse. More than 100 people have been killed, 4,000 injured, and an estimated 300,000 left homeless. The country's prime minister said an investigation is underway into the cause. The cost of the damage is estimated to so far have topped $3 billion, according to Beirut's governor. Hospitals already struggling to cope with the coronavirus pandemic say they're now overwhelmed with casualties. It all comes at a sensitive time for Lebanon, already reeling from a worsening economic crisis. Inflation is rampant, electricity is in short supply, and a grain silo destroyed in the blast yesterday, experts say, will make food shortages inevitable. The BBC's Lina Sinjab at the blast site in Beirut explains how vital the port is for the country's economy.
Basically, this is the main port of Beirut. It's an industrial area, and this is the port where all the shipments coming in and out of Beirut load here. Lebanon relies heavily on import in its consumption. Almost 80% of its consumption is imported material. So now the port where actually where I'm standing, I can see some of the smoke coming out of it. It's completely out of order. Everything around it, like destroyed, broken glasses, destroyed balconies, every single building I can look at has the facade, the windows shattered. It's really devastating situation, and it's hard to see how Lebanon is going to come out of it, especially with the terrible economic crisis that the country is going through.
As you say, this port is vital for food supply in Lebanon. So with this huge disruption, where will these crucial imports go now?
It's really hard to know at the moment. The government hasn't made any clarification on how they're going to get their import or export out. But mind you, the whole import-export operation has been also affected by the lack of U.S. currency in Lebanon and the lack of cash. The economic crisis have hit hard. The banking crisis that locked people's money in. Many companies, and even some of them, they have their products shipped to Beirut port, and they can't load it off the ships because the banks are not paying the second payment of the shipment. So the whole export-import industry has been hit hard, the economy is hit hard, and this is just coming like a last throw to make it even worse for the country and for the economy.
Lina Sinjab in Beirut for us. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, checking financial markets, safe haven gold has hit another record high today of $2,000 an ounce. Global share markets, meanwhile, are also broadly higher amid expectations for another U.S. economic rescue package. The Stock 600 index here is up 0.5% after figures showed the European services sector is recovering. Business activity grew in July after lockdown restrictions across the region were relaxed. In the European response to the coronavirus pandemic, Sweden is an outlier. A lockdown has so far been avoided, but it's a decision that's led to more COVID-19 deaths than the country's Nordic neighbors have recorded. Some observers say the pain may have been worth it for the sake of the economy. Fresh data today show it shrank 8.6% between April and June. Though it was the biggest drop in 40 years, the decline is less severe than in other parts of Europe, including Germany, Spain, and Italy, where double-digit declines were registered in the second quarter. The BBC's Ed Butler delves into the pros and cons of Sweden's strategy.
Back in March, Sweden's government said that lockdown restrictions would not be necessary for them, basing their decision on the advice of the country's senior health expert, Anders Tegnell. A few weeks later, he defended the decision in a BBC interview.
The death toll in Sweden is mainly in facilities for long-term ill elderly people. And we had very much an unfortunate spread in those facilities. On the other hand, the connection between our basic strategy in slowing down the spread, if that really in the long run will affect the total death toll in a society or not, that is not clear yet.
But the problem is that Sweden's death toll is now close to 6,000, while its Nordic neighbours, countries like Norway and Denmark, which have imposed lockdowns, have seen deaths in just the hundreds. Fans of the Swedish approach say there's a trade-off here. Keep the economy open for the sake of future generations, they argue. But many economists, like Jacob Kierkegaard of the Peterson Institute, think that logic doesn't work.
The broader idea that a country like Sweden could derive massive economic benefits by not shutting down when it was clear that all its neighboring countries and trading partners would shut down across Europe is a false one.
But it is complicated in the Swedish case. The latest data suggests that companies there have been confounding economic forecasts. Esbjorn Lundevall is a chief equity strategist at the Swedish bank SEB.
I've never seen as large a proportion of companies report better than expected profits than this time around. We've never seen government support in the way we've seen during this crisis.
So is he expecting a rapid recovery in Sweden?
I'm not. I think we will have a strong V-shaped recovery in parts of the economy, and especially those that are actually having benefits from people spending their vacations, etc., in a different way. So companies exposed to sales of bicycles or mobile homes. But how many companies do you think order new commercial aircrafts or new cruise ships or things like that?
The Swedish government continues to defend its tactics, but it has launched a public inquiry into its own decision-making. The majority of experts seem doubtful that any country like Sweden can duck the economic consequences of the current crisis by opening or reopening at the expense of public health. I'm the BBC's Ed Butler for Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.